Shock the System. Welcome to Dank Discussions with me, Calican CEO Maynard Breslow. In each episode, you'll learn from the trailblazers, leaders, entrepreneurs, and influencers in the ever-moving, ever-growing cannabis industry. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dank Discussions. Today, we're joined by Veronica Castillo. He is a writer, journalist in the cannabis space and in the psychedelic space as well. She reviews products. She's a cross-country traveler, and she's starting up something very big and new right now. So really excited to have V on, and thanks for joining me today, V.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, the pleasure's all mine, you know, and I know that you've been entering into the world of podcasting a little bit in terms of being on a guest, and we've talked about before, maybe few months ago you weren't ready, and I loved you know that you're entering this now, because you have a lot to speak about, that's for sure. And I'm excited today. You know, we're going to talk a lot about SEO, what goes behind that. We're going to talk about integrity in the industry and what it being a writer and contributor, and some of the good and maybe some of the bad that goes along with it, talking about plant-based medicine, plant-based foods, veganism, and all that fun stuff. But I guess I would say we're going to start off easy. Let our listeners know where you're based out of today.
I'm actually in Nevada right now. I'm doing a lot of exploration between California and Nevada, just trying to stay as safe as possible with all that's going on. And so I just got back from a couple of weeks in Florida, though. And I know it's like, one of the largest hotspots, but my family is there. And so I had to, make a quick hop over to the other side. To spend some time with them, but I will be, out west until further notice.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I know, as somebody who covers cannabis across the country, doing a lot of travel. And like you said, now there's some hot spots going here and there. How has that affected you? Coronavirus, I know it's affected everybody in a different way. How has it affected you as somebody who is a contributor that has to kind of travel around and see different places?
There are no events happening where, you can go in and actually, like the hemp and CBD and overall cannabis events. And so I'm not able, I guess I can virtually, but there's just like a different energy and a different feel doing things like kind of on the ground and face to face. And so that's kind of made me a little sad, because that's all been at a standstill. But I plan to have crossed over into Canada at some point this year to start my exploration in Ontario. And with borders and things closing, that's not possible. And then just traveling as a whole, things aren't really open. It's not really safe to meet up with people. And, so it's just been kind of slow. But I've also had the time and the space to launch my website. So I guess it's unfortunate. The whole like COVID thing is horrible, but the time that I've had I've used wisely, I suppose. And so I guess it's not all bad on my end, but it's definitely slowed some things down.
Yeah, no, it's been difficult. Obviously, like you said, there's been pluses, minuses. Obviously missing the events has been such a bummer, especially for our industry. That's one of the best ways to obviously connect with like-minded people, personally, but also for business, right? And BD and everything, business development. So it's been kind of tough in that regard. But like you said, one of the pluses that's come out of it is we see a lot of people starting businesses and or being able to do new things that maybe we were so just kind of in a rat race, just chasing and running all the time, that it's kind of allowed us to stop and kind of focus on new things.
Absolutely.
So it's good to hear that you've got your new website coming up, and it'll be linked here. Obviously, probably by the time this comes out, it'll be launched and everything. So talk to me. I want to talk before we get into the website. I want to hear about your story. I want to hear about kind of your background. Your relationship with cannabis, maybe growing up, and how it's led to you being an SEO writer and journalist in the space.
So I grew up in the South, and so that gives about the whole view of my relationship with cannabis as a child. I grew up in a region where still to this day, the thought of CBD is making people like really upset. And so I wasn't really a kid that snuck around and got high. That did happen a couple times as a teen, but I didn't understand the true value of cannabis at all until 2015. I was diagnosed with migraine with vertigo, and I allowed the doctors to try 5 different medications and, you know, treatment remedies and things of that nature that didn't work at all. And so one day, one of my friends, you know, I felt my warning, which is dizziness, and I was getting ready to go pop pills. And she's like, you know, I don't know why you're doing that. You need to just smoke some weed. And I'm so desperate at this point for anything. And I did, and I've never looked back. So cannabis heals me and continues to do so. And so I literally dedicated my life to her. And so that's exactly why I do what I do today.
Wow. I mean, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, you're suffering from migraines and vertigo. And but I am happy to hear that now seems like you found the right remedy that works for you and, you know, without all the other treatments and pills and everything.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that unfortunately, right? I mean, it's not an uncommon story in the sense that, like you said, the South, right? And, you know, someone saying, oh, just smoke some weed and then another, you know, with the different stigmas going along with it and, you know, those kind of thoughts. Was it, you know, so unfortunately, a lot of times people don't turn to it until it's kind of like they're desperate, like you're saying. Was that kind of where you're at, where it was just like, I can't take this anymore and I'm not gonna try anything? Did you feel like
those pills that they had me on? I was desperate for anything. Absolutely. And so I was like, it can't be any worse than what they're doing to me already is literally how I felt. And so, yeah. And I never looked back. The next day I went out and bought an eighth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Did you feel kind of stigmatized even at that point, or just like, fuck it, I don't care anymore? Like,
there wasn't, I didn't care. I was already in my 30s and I'm, you know, I started letting go of really caring what people have to say about anything that I did in my life. And it's really because migraines, they're an invisible disability. People hardly take it serious. And so no one can really tell, you know, me what's best for me when I'm the one living with this every single day. And so, yeah, I took, I think, four puffs and it put me to sleep. And the next day I went out and got that eighth, and every single day I consume in all kind of forms, and I can give a shit about what anyone has to say about it.
Yeah, no, it's the best, you know, it is the best, you know. I have kind of the opposite, you know, being kind of in the industry and people, you know, but kind of having to hide it, right, growing up and everything like that. But now that you're, you know, a cannabis writer and this is the thing, and you're talking about your upbringing in the South and everything that comes along with it, was it kind of scary to now, this is your whole life and, you know, writing about it and everything like that? Or like you said, it was just, you don't give a shit and people can say or anything like that.
Yeah, when I first did that in 2015, I had no idea that this would be I was still working a corporate job. And so I had no fear. You know, I didn't have a job where they randomly drug tested at all. So I knew that very thing that I did put me to sleep and I didn't feel that pain. And I woke up and didn't have that pain. And from that moment, I started advocating this happened in Ohio. So I should say that, I left the South in my early 20s and I moved and I've been in the Midwest for a while. And this was at the time where I was in Ohio, you know, and at the time I'm like, I had a mortgage, you know, I have my own mortgage, I have my own job, no one's putting any money on these bills. And so I'm going to do what I want to do because it was literally migraines. It tore up my life. Like my quality of life was shattered. And so I'm like, there, no one can tell me not to do this when I have to get up and live my life every day. And these pills, like, they're making me worse. I feel like those medications did something to me. And I don't know, like I didn't come back the same. And so, yeah, I didn't care anymore. And then as I saw that cannabis continued to just heal my soul, like I started to become more compassionate. My perspective started shifting. I started seeing connection and everything, you know, things like that. And I knew that I had to go out and tell the truth of, well, my truth, and what cannabis did for me. And so that's what I've been doing ever since.
Yeah. And I love that, you know, in our correspondence, just to link up and get on this recording, you know, you've been so forthcoming and everything. And I see that in your posts. I see that in, you know, in what you have out there. And, you know, it's just very genuine and very open and very honest. And I think that that's something that is lacking in life in general, I think, and definitely lacking in the industry as well, where I think, you know, a lot of times people want to, you know, be perceived in a certain way, or they want to have a certain persona, or perhaps, you know, be respected or looked at as accomplished or whatever else it is. And I think it prevents true connection. Because, you know, we're all in a certain place, we're all growing, and everybody's trying to do their thing. And, you know, like I said, you're kind of an open book in terms of talking about, you know, veganism and plant-based foods and plant-based medicine and cannabis and psychedelics and everything like that. And talked about the importance of that and how that kind of combines with what you're doing now, in terms of having your own blog, your own website, and how that maybe differ from, you know, working with other clients as a writer.
So it's really important for me to just be me. I'm working corporate. I wore a mask for a very, very long time. Oh. And so I just can, again, this is, you know, cannabis bringing me closer to myself. And it's just like, it's really important for me to just be who I am, because I'm going to run into people, right? The cannabis industry, you know, it's a small world. And so You're going to see me online, and you might run into me at one of these events, and you're going to get V. And so it's very important for me on social media to be V. And I don't even give, because I'm censored, right? Facebook hates cannabis. And so, you know, they don't want you to talk about cannabis. Really, the only platform that lets me live my life and just speak in my true voice is LinkedIn. Uh-huh. So I say that people get me, you know, but they still own, they get the restricted part of me, you know, because I still can't say everything that I want to say across all platforms. But when you meet me, it's really important for you to the V that you got online is the V that you're going to meet in person. Because I have no interest in going back to, you know, wearing that mask, you know, that I had to wear for corporate. And because of that, my tone isn't for everyone. It's not for every publication. The publications that I work with now, I've had relationships with them for quite a while. So I'm a regular contributor to their publications, and they really support my voice. But, you know, people are kind of like, oh, I'm so shocked that I don't see more of you, you know, like Women in Weed magazine and, you know, those, I want to say that I do have some published work about to be released with Cannabis magazine. I don't know when those will be published. But aside from that, I don't have a lot of good fortune in mainstream. And that's because my voice doesn't really fit the mainstream voice. I don't market CBD as like this new cool thing that'll help your exercise be better. That's great that it does that for some people. But I want to also talk about, hey, we're all smoking CBD, and there's people sitting in jail right now, and we need to do something about that. And it's kind of like a lot of publications don't want to talk about that. You know, I get that there are partners with other people, maybe sponsors with other companies, there's things like that happening. So my voice isn't really welcome on those fronts like they are on the online publications. And so it led me to be like, well, I just need to go ahead and build my own. Mm-hmm. I will be having an online blog, but in the future I'm working on a magazine via app. And so I feel like I have to just build my own, because I have a tribe of people that want to hear about what I'm talking about, and my other writers. I have a team of four amazing writers. And all of our perspectives are different. All of our voices are different. We all have a different passion for cannabis. And so I had to build something that will literally talk to the corporate person, literally talk to the person who still has to shop for cannabis black market because their state is ridiculous. To the people in Texas who can no longer buy smokable hemp. I needed something that speaks to everyone and not just that tunnel that a lot of mainstream publications want to stay in.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the difficulties, right? I mean, that's what we talk about sometimes. You know, I'm grateful to have this platform, and, you know, anybody who's a regular listener to the show, you know, they're hearing us talking about the war on drugs and prohibition and, you know, people coming in the industry who maybe don't care about it, while other people are sitting in jail, you know, and at the same time, right? I mean, you know, we all own a business and doing content. And where's that fine line? I mean, is it like, you know, listen, if you don't want to like you have to be willing to talk about these deeper subjects. Cause if I'm just don't want to talk about, you know, kind of surface things, and that's not really my way. Or is it something like, okay, you know what, like I'm going to do this and do that. Is it something that you kind of have like a hard line on? Cause it is, it's important, right? You know, you have to maintain your integrity. And at the same time, you know, paying the bill. So is there a balance there? Is it just kind of like, you know what, this is something that's important to me, and this is the way I'm going to work, and whatever deals I get, I get, whatever deals I don't get, I don't get. But I know that I'm going to be happy in the end.
Yeah. It's basically the end part. For me, I can write about, you know, 10 ways that CBD can help you in your day to day. It's perfectly fine. But if I'm hired to write a piece about the history of cannabis, there's no way that we can talk about the history of cannabis and not talk about how it linked to racism and how our jails are filled with people of color because, you know, linked to cannabis. And so for a client that's like, oh, we'll talk about the history of cannabis, but, you know, I don't want to talk about that. It's like, we can't work together. So the clients that I do have, the people that I write for and contribute to, they know my voice. They've hired me because of it. And so these clients are like my family. Like there's no, they're like, hey, we need content. And my voice and my tone is not edited. They don't mess with anything. But the ones that are like, yeah, we want to do this, but can you leave this out? It's like, I'm not the writer for you because I cannot publish anything and not talk about the truth, especially if we're talking on that subject specifically. There's nothing I can leave out. We have to talk about all of it.
No, that's a great point. I think, you know, it doesn't have to be all or nothing, like you were saying, right? If it's just, okay, cool, you want to do like a fluff piece or, you know, whatever it can be about, you know, that's cool, but I'm not going to rewrite history, right? And I think that's what we get into a lot of times, where people kind of want it to be this perfect thing that just came about all of a sudden, and hemp and, you know, and cannabis, and here we are, we found ourselves, you know, welcome. And but at the same time, you know, talking about the, you know, the how it's rooted in racism, right? And rooted in, and not only that, but also, you know, industries, right? I mean, you know, incarceration and it's all part of a big industry, right? In order to keep those beds filled. And the same thing, you know, the certain industries that were against hemp, you know, in 100 years.
Like we're not even releasing the people in jail for cannabis related offenses due to coronavirus. They're like still every day their lives are threatened. But there's dispensaries making $1 million a day. Like it's not okay. And so I'm like the voice reminding people like, hey, or, you know, like the government can't tell us our intent. Who cares if I have a pound of, I don't care, in whatever state, you can't tell me that my intent was to distribute this. Like it's medicine that I need. And especially for me, I will consume a pound. Like I have no intention to distribute this, right? But the government gets to tell whatever story they want. And it's like, well, they had a pound, it was intent to distribute. And it's like, you can't do that. I mean, they can, cause they do it, right? But we should not allow them to be able to do that. It's like, we have to really see all angles of this. And it's great to talk about CBD and THC in ways that it'll like help, you know, make you be a better parent, but we also have to talk about why the government would ever restrict a plant that can heal us. It's like, we have to ask those questions.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't want to hear the answers to those questions, right? We want to think that the government has our best interests in mind. And you know, if the government says something, or if it's not FDA approved yet, or if we don't see research or whatever else it is, that must be because it's bad, or there's something, you know, there's nothing to really investigate here, right? But, you know, we see and we look inside and you see what the hell is going on over here. You know, why are these laws being passed in the way that they are, or why are they delaying it, or who's really benefiting from it when they are passing them, right? You know, and you need to have a certain amount of capital to go in. Okay, cool. So then that shuts out a whole different other people. And most of the time, those are the people that have been incarcerated, you know, historically for the same thing, right? It's allowing people to come into the industry who, you know, who have that funding and then still being able to take advantage of people based on their race or their socioeconomic status. And it just maintains that status quo in that regard. Do you see that people are, you know, pretty privy to that, either within the industry, outside the industry, or do you see that people are still kind of like, you know, they kind of hold back, or they don't want to hear the real truth in that regard?
I think that it's kind of a mix, but the thing is that I think people know, like we're not a dumb society. Like we know, like we see what's happening. I think a lot of us just stay quiet because then speaking up forces us to have to do something about it. If I'm being vocal about it, well, now what am I going to do about it? Mm-hmm. And I ask myself that every day. And so I'm working on a few things. I don't want to speak too much on it, but there are going to be things linked to my website where it's just going to be easy for people to click and submit something to their like state officials, because mm-hmm. I'm like, I speak a lot on it every day. And it's like, and I do that. It's kind of to hold me accountable, but also we all have to do something about it. We can't just stay quiet about this. There's people in jail who are going to die in there for cannabis that wasn't even tested. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not okay. And so my soul won't rest. Like every day I'm like, okay, so what are we going to do about it? So I'm also putting together like, I don't know, a pitch, and I'm hoping that I can do something in partnership or collaboration with Last Prisoner Project, because I'm like, I think collaboration and us coming together as a community, like we all have our different platforms for different reasons, but then there has to be like the bigger picture that we all come together on, and we all have to like find the solution to the big problem.
Definitely. And I appreciate you saying that, because I mean, I struggle with that as well, right? I mean, you know, I'm grateful for this platform. We can talk about it and we can bring awareness to it. But like you said, you know, it comes down to, you know, am I putting my money where my mouth is? Am I putting my signature where my mouth is? You know, and that kind of things. You know, we see a lot of, you know, advocacy in the world, but a lot of it is, you know, this quote unquote Twitter advocacy, right? Or this keyboard advocacy, right? Where you can sit behind and you can, you know, cool, you know, we're grateful that, you know, on social media, people are really bringing a lot of awareness to it and, you know, making posts and showing stories and sharing things and stuff like that. But in the end, you know, what are we doing to actually make a real change? You know, are we contacting our politicians? Are we, you know, signing petitions? Are we doing things that are actually going to make, you know, going to move the needle, as opposed to just making posts, kind mm-hmm. of. So I appreciate you saying that. I mean, yeah. So I know you said, you know, we'll everybody go and check out the website, and you know, we'll see what B's talking about here and how you can get involved as well. Cause I think, it's important. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, in terms of, you know, advocating and everything like that, you know, kind of, you know, we talked about it a little bit, is how cannabis is a medicine for everybody. But, you know, talking about, you know, your life as a vegan, plant-based foods, you know, cannabis, and also talking about, you know, psychedelics, how do they all intersect? You know, and...
So they're all, okay, so for me, and I'm still very, I'm not as experienced in the world of other psychedelics. Like I am with, you know, THC, which, you know, I guess like a low level psychedelic. But I am exploring and microdosing with psilocybin. And I'm excited to start exploring, you know, DMT and ayahuasca. Like I really want to get lost in the culture of that. So it's important for me to travel. I don't, you know, we're here in the States. We don't have a good relationship as a whole, even with dieting. You know, the doctors will pump you full of all kind of different medications before putting, you know, or recommending a 60 or a 90 day plant diet to see if maybe that'll help before, you know, your body is, you know, processing a bunch of different medications. We don't, as a whole here, like we don't have good traditional relationships or anything with plants. So it's important for me to leave here and travel out to those places that do, so I can learn and consume, you know, under the supervision of people with a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. For me, I want to just have a total plant lifestyle. I want my medicine to be plants. I want my diet to be plants, because plants heal. I think we all forget that the animal eats the plant to get all of its nutrients. And then we go and we eat the animal to consume those nutrients. I used to be a very, very judgy vegan, and cannabis helped me be more of a compassionate person. I now understand that being vegan is a privilege. Many people don't have that luxury. They don't have farmers markets or any type of, you know, they have what they have, you know, in their community, and you have to make do. Those that have options, I advocate highly for more plant consumption, because it's I mean, it's everything. Nature gives us everything that we need, so we should just consume it from there and not really contribute to an industry based off greed. We don't need to eat as much meat as we're eating. And that I'll say, I hope I don't sound too judgy, but you know, we don't need to eat as much meat as most of us do. We need to eat more plants, because that plants heal. And there's so much research and there's so many things out there that support this. And if it's not any of my pieces that help anyone kind of consider making more of that switch, then find a different one. There's so many out there, and literally plants are the way. So everything that I do is very plant heavy. Everything I advocate for is plant and kind of compassion. Let's not be cruel and go into other societies and, you know, tear up how they live just so that we can have a meal. We don't have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point. I think that in terms of we kind of see it a lot in you know, people, you know, with vegans, and I think it's kind of like that running joke, right? So to speak, right? Where, oh, you know, how do you know if someone's a vegan? They'll tell you within 5 seconds, right? But at the same time, right? But at this.
Oh gosh, that was good. It's kind of true. Oh gosh. And so the vegans right now are like, don't let them laugh at us. But yeah. Sometimes it is funny.
Oh man, no, it's good. No, it's good though. But you know, it's good in all those ways, right? But like you said, you know, I think you know, talking about, unfortunately, we live in such a society where the consumers have to kind of eat those costs to make the choice of living a healthier life in general and to be a vegan, right? And all this. And then people say, no, it's not, you know, in terms of, you know, well, you can find good food that's not as expensive and no, right? But we really do see that. And you see that that's, you know, we're talking about earlier, kind of like the attack on the classes and races. And I think that kind of plays into it as well, right? I mean, we talk about, you know, like you were saying, pumping our bodies full of medicine as opposed to taking care of our bodies. And I think it's just kind of part of this, that same agenda, you know, not to get
too. It is. It's what they teach us, and to kind of keep us dependent on the medical system. And it just, we don't need to be that dependent on them if we just are kind of more proactive, you know, start eating more plants now instead of waiting until they're maybe a medical condition is looming over you and then having to aggressively make that change, where we could start with baby steps today, because no one has ever been hurt off of consuming, you know, more plants than, you know, processed foods. And that's just fact. And so I just think we should be more proactive and question the government. Like, they push dairy really, really hard, and they look at almond milk and it's like, oh, that doesn't, but almonds have nutrients and it's okay to not consume dairy, because dairy is like the devil for inflammation. And so many of us suffer from conditions where our bodies are so inflamed, and we're consuming dairy. We're just, take that out. Even if you're not consuming cannabis for it, just stop consuming dairy. Like, you know, just in all situations, lean more towards plants and you will find your healing. I so believe that. And it's a message that I will always push. And it's one that, for me and the tribe of people that I have in my life, like, that's, it's factual. And so I want everyone to at least try it. It may not work for you. Some people can't eat raw vegetables, and that's fine. So maybe you have to cook them, but just have a better relationship with food, because it's there to heal, more so than to be, kind of like this thing that we just depend on to get us out of, you know, because food is also, I think food is a drug. People use food for different things. It's, you eat when you're stressed, or you don't eat when you're stressed, or you pig out when you're feeling mad, or you know, we just should have a better relationship with food overall. And when I say food, I definitely am talking about plants. Like, I think that plants are going to be what really saves us from so much. Yeah, and I know I probably sound like one of those mountain hippies, but like, when you, I'm in nature a lot. And so I think that too, we all need to go out and spend time with nature, with trees, hug a tree. If you're anywhere in Nevada or any of these deserts, if you stand under a tree right now, that tree is taking 20 degrees off of you. Hug that tree.
No, amazing. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes we look at it as like an all nothing thing, right? And I think, like you said, you know, just being able to cut into things. I mean, I'm not a vegan, right? But I've been able to cut out dairy from my diet. And like you said, you know, we look at food as just like fuel, but, you know, talking about psychedelics and, you know, mind altering, you know, substances, food alters our mind state, right? Or like you said, sometimes we eat a certain type of food because we're in a certain mind state, you know, and not really thinking about it or how conditioned we are or why we reach for this thing instead of that thing. And how much of that is conscious or subconscious. And it just kind of like brings in whatever a person does in their practice, you know, I think it's very important to be conscious of what we're doing and what we're putting in our body. You know, instead of just like shoving stuff in our mouth.
Exactly.
So, you know, you're coming out with this website and, you know, and kind of transitioning to that, you know, having your own team of writers, you know, so what can we expect from V in the future? What do we have coming up, lined up with everything?
So the launch should be happening tomorrow. So it's cool because it's very community focused. And so even though, you know, this is my website and there'll be different partners that I'll be working with, on some merchandise and, you know, other products, there's still a space for me to support the people that supported me up to this point. And so I have a lot of partners, that you guys will see listed on the website where you'll be able to save money shopping through them. The blog will have a lot of content literally on launch day. There'll be a lot for everyone to get lost in and content being loaded every week. The writers are covering things like for business startups, you know, why branding for your business is important, why your company needs to be on social media is important. Then there's things like, what is Rick Simpson oil and how should I consume it? Mm-hmm. And then there's things like being a parent that consumes cannabis. It's literally a site. It's a community thing. And I'm trying to have content that sits and is for everyone, because we're all in it for different reasons. You know, even for the person that smokes cannabis recreationally just to get high, you're still receiving medicinal value. And so I want to talk to those people about not giving the cold shoulder to CBD and CBG because they also have value and, you know, things like that. So it's a site for everyone. And I'm hoping that everyone, you know, finds a happy home there. I hope that if one person a day finds that they learned anything from any of the content on there, then just share it with one other person. The team that I have is really passionate. I couldn't work with people that are not passionate. All of the people that are contributing to the website have a relationship with cannabis way before legalization. And so it's really important for me to give it I'll have a business directory. Let me back up just a second. So a cannabis business directory and a vegan business directory, because it's important for me to have a place where people know, like if I'm talking about veganism and, it's really easy to go vegan. Just, you know, here are the products that you should look out for to help your transition. It's really important for me on that site to have those companies listed so that right from there, you can go to that company and while it's fresh, while you have the, oh, I want to do this, well, let me link you to everything right now so that we can do this. And then it's also important for me to have a place for the underdog. And so there are going to be businesses on there who are in the process of getting licensed, but they need help. Mm. They need to earn income from their business so that they can afford these ridiculous fees on licensing. And so my site is a place for them too. And so it's literally a community effort. And I think it's not like anything else out there, but I think it's so needed in this space. So I'm hoping that everyone will give it a visit and share with at least one other person out there. So that we can, you know, the mission is to educate, inform, and break these horrible stigmas surrounding this plant that literally matches human biology so much that it will heal us from, I think, everything.
Wow. Wow. I mean, there's so much stuff there, obviously. And like you said, you know, we talked about earlier, actually making a change, a real change. And it sounds like this is able to do that as well, you know, being able to help people get the resources they need, which is a huge problem, right? With, you know, we talk about social equity and, you know, and everything and kind of the way that people are being, you know, preyed upon, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't have necessarily the funds to be able to grow things. So people who have been affected by the war on drugs are themselves. So I love that this is part of the platform, and I'm really excited to check the platform. And, you know, you also mentioned, it's incredible. Can't wait. And, you know, you mentioned obviously the importance of social media and SEO and everything like that in the industry. So something definitely to delve deep on. I know you got to run here in a minute, but maybe we can have you on another time for that. But that being said, it's been great. You know, before I let you run, I have to ask you, I ask everybody who comes on the show, how you define success, whether it's professionally, personally, spiritually. What does success look like for you?
For me, it's exactly who I am today. Like, success was me transitioning from the person I was to the person that I am. And that's waking up every day. I tell myself every day, you're going to be a better vegan today than you were yesterday. You are going to be compassionate and you are going to be light so you can spread love. And so every day that I'm able to do that, I'm successful. And I also think success is a mindset. We put a lot of that on, you know, how much money we make, the kind of house we have, the kind of car we drive. And it's like, no, I had all of that and I wasn't successful at all. Like, I'm just pushing my later 30s. I'm just seeing, me reaching my level of success.
Yeah, that's the wise words right there. You know, I think we look at success as something that's outside of us or something we have to achieve. We don't realize that success is here with us already. And focusing on what we have instead of what we don't have. And, you know, like you said at the beginning, right? I mean, went to a corporate America job and, you know, had that security or whatever else, but having to wear that mask. And I think a lot of success is being able to be who we are. And right now you're exactly who you are. And like you said at the beginning, you know, if you like me, you don't like me, whatever it is, but, you know, I'm not going to listen to anybody else or change my way just because, someone doesn't like what I'm saying. So, very amazing what you've got going on right now and excited to see it grow. That's for sure.
Thank you so much.
Cool. So V, as we close, you know, how can listeners find more about you, find your website, find all your content and be able to connect with you and then support you?
So my site is www.vtravelingvegcanorider.com and V is spelled V-E-E. That is also my handle on social media, LinkedIn. So how everyone can help is literally giving us a visit. If you find that anything on that site makes you smile or you learned anything from that one visit, share it with just one other person so that we can continue to educate, inform, and destigmatize.
Oh yeah, very good. Amazing. No, definitely. And excited that you got... you know, we'll have that there in the description for everybody to be linked up to and to go check it out. Like you said, go give it a visit and see if you resonate with anything. So awesome, V. It's been such a pleasure having you on. Thank you for jumping on with me today. And thank you everybody for listening as well. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Pleasure's all mine. Good luck to you and the rest of 2020 and beyond.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We at Calican are passionate about cannabis marketing, branding, and web design. If you're a cannabis entrepreneur and you know you need an uptick in business or an upgrade in the way your customers perceive you, come check us out at calican.com and schedule a time to speak with us today.
Thanks for listening in to Dank Discussions, and we are so grateful for each and every one of you. We want to continue making dank content you want. So give us some feedback about the topics you want covered. Feel free to reach out to us at grow@calican.com. That's C-A-L-A-C-A-N-N.com. And follow us on Instagram for our latest updates.